This is Sarah Rudolph for John Lothian News. Aventis Systems is a financial technology firm that provides compliance, surveillance, and risk management software. It covers the equities, equity options, futures, fixed income, FX, and cryptocurrency markets. I spoke with Aventis CEO Travis Schwab about the many developments at the company this year and their plans for expansion.
A lot is happening at Aventis. You guys have raised a lot of money and hired a lot of people recently, betting on expansion. Just how big is the market for surveillance technology for futures and other exchange-traded products?
Yes, we had a successful round in February. Our timing was about as good as it could be. I know, unfortunately, there's been a lot of firms that have struggled to get some funding after with the pandemic. So super fortunate to get that round closed with great partners going forward. Yeah, the market for trade surveillance is pretty large, $2 billion, not quite, but close to that on a global basis. So not just futures, not just exchange traded products, but if you think about digital assets, you think about other asset classes moving to that general direction of more transparency, more regulatory requirements. Trade surveillance is always a key part of that. So, you know, we're on 100 plus global markets around the world. We're always being asked to add more markets. You know, in general, markets only become more regulated. So we think the opportunity is very large.
What percentage of the market are you aiming for?
It used to be dominated by kind of a single firm kind of 10, 15 years ago. You know, we're one of the few enterprise trade surveillance companies really on the planet. We compete with very large firms every day. There are more competitors coming into this space because if you think about the same data, the trade lifecycle data and the market data that's being used to do trade surveillance can also be used for other apps, for instance, a transaction cost analysis or whatever. So I think, you know, what percentage, you know, we're going to keep growing everywhere we can grow. Obviously, I'd love 100%. That's ridiculous to say. But for me, we think we can be absolutely a top three global provider of this technology. And we're building our infrastructure, building our firm to be able to do so.
What are the opportunities for expanding into new markets?
Yeah, I touched upon that a little bit, but we're watching digital assets, that market structure be created really on the fly. I think we have a really unique view and a nice opportunity to watch a market structure being created as we watch. And so we think the digital asset space is a real opportunity for us. We have a very strong position in that across exchanges, and we expect to be able to grow that really globally. And so that's one area. Other asset classes that are not necessarily exchange traded, whether that's FX or fixed income. So if we think about the cash treasury trading in the fixed income market, that's moving. Obviously, it's made a big move electronic over the last several years. That's going to need more trade surveillance type tools. And there's just been pieces being put out about the requirements and the kind of best practices for trade surveillance in that space. FX is another area that we know is coming. We know it's coming directionally into this area, whether, you know, FX has adopted, you have 6 trillion notional traded on a daily basis. There's been a global code of conduct adopted, but yet there's still some, you know, regulators and governments that say that doesn't go far enough. So we assume directionally again that FX is going to be a good opportunity for us. And so really any asset class generally moves towards a more regulated structure. And so that bodes well for our business.
You mentioned you're expanding into Europe and Asia. Can you give us a few details about that expansion?
So we've been in APAC. We've had an office, kind of a point of presence in Singapore for a couple of years now. We have a half dozen clients there across futures and equities and digital assets, and we continue to grow that. So hiring resources out there, you know, to run a global company with the resources that we had before was pretty taxing. It's still taxing to run a 24-hour business, and so we need capable people and infrastructure all over the place. And so We've established a kind of a beachhead in APAC in Singapore. We're hiring in Hong Kong and Tokyo right now. And then for Europe, it's just a greenfield opportunity for us, basically. We have several clients that have always surveilled European markets. They have European staff that use our product, but we're really increasing our resources there. So we have four new employees effectively in London, and we're continuing to add along really all parts of our business, whether that's sales or relationship management, client success, engineering. We think Europe is just a phenomenal opportunity as the outcome of MiFID II and the enforcement of MiFID II really starts to solidify. We think tools like ours are going to be that much more in demand. So really, we see that Europe being a really great opportunity for us.
And what are some of the challenges for your customers in conducting trade surveillance under the conditions of COVID-19?
I think in general, the financial markets have been very resilient, really as a testament to the adoption of technologies, you know, cloud technologies and the types of infrastructure that we've been adopting for the past 5 to 10 years. And so there was an absolute upheaval as firms were, you know, as we're working from home right now, and as firms were kind of instituting their business continuity policies, there absolutely were disruptions. And so whether that's adding new IP addresses to be able to use our platform there, new users, the increase in volume and volatility during that time adds, you know, a load and more alerts to be remedied. And so there were a lot of different kind of ramifications of the pandemic that's affected our clients. But in general, because we're pulling data directly from the venues, because we're pulling data you know, automatically through these, and the market structures are the same, you know, our customers really haven't missed a beat as it relates to being able to use the platform. We've had to work with them a little bit more on the just the overall number of alerts. So tuning the system, using our some of our different methods of reducing the noise on these technologies is, and workflow. We've had to take a look at. But in general, it's been a pretty smooth transition to this world that we're living in right now.
How are you addressing the conditions under the pandemic, such as working from home? What is your long-range plan?
In general, we've always been distributed. Really, since day one, 5 years ago, we were probably one of the first, you know, firms to use Slack 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago. We've been on Zoom for 4 years. These tools that people have discovered really in a big way over last year, we've been using for 4 or 5 years. So we've probably at least a third of our customers we've sold to, demoed, installed, implemented support virtually. Like, we've never met them even when you could go out and fly out to them. And so for our company, we've kind of engineered ourselves using the tools that are available for us to be distributed. And so we've doubled our staff, 150% growth on people virtually. You know, we've done interviews like this, interviewed new people. It's been very interesting to hire people that you've never met. You know, it's not necessarily a great thing, but you have to use the tools that you have, right? So and you have to really rely on, you know, I think we've relied on our networks directly to confirm the beliefs that we're getting through the visual and, you know, kind of virtual interactions. And so that's one thing as hiring goes. We need to do, go much deeper on reference checks and not, you know, not the people that, you know, the applicant lists, but people that we know them or know people of them. And so I think that's kind of an interesting ramification of the world that we live in as compared to getting a broader feel. When you talk to someone face to face, we've really had to fill that in using other tools or other mechanisms that we may not necessarily used in the past. And so that's been one interesting ramification of doing everything virtually.
What are some of the increased regulatory risks for customers in this high volume trading climate?
Yeah, a lot of that is directly correlated to just the number of alerts that they're dealing with. And so as the markets are moving more with volatility, as you just have more data, you have more alerts. And so how do you bubble up the stuff that needs to be really looked at? And that's really how we spend every day with our clients, is trying to figure out the best way to bubble up the most applicable information for them. We call them actionable alerts, and it's critical because these systems aren't perfect. Some of these rules are interpreted rules, and so we give them parameters, and you can tune the alerts and things like that. But it takes it takes time. It takes iterations. We try to combine machine learning technologies and procedural technologies really to try to reduce the noise and give them workflow so that you're dealing with the alerts that are the most actionable and need the most focus. And so that's the biggest part of this increased volume, increased volatility. On top of that, I think as we come out of the pandemic, there will always be regulatory focus on areas that were gaps during this time. So I know regulators are focused on business continuity. Like, people were caught off guard a little bit, not necessarily our customers, but just in industry wide, people were caught off guard because they hadn't tested their BC plan before like this. On top of that is, you with record volume and volatility, you've had a lot of proprietary trading firms that have made a lot of money. And even on, there was an article today, even in Lothian, talking about a proprietary trading group that made a lot of money on the oil trade. So you will have increased, not that people shouldn't make a lot of money, but you will have increased regulatory focus, just like coming out of the flash crash, just like coming out of the financial crisis, where people want to understand, okay, you've made a lot of money, but then did you stay within your risk controls? Were you doing all the things that you needed to be doing from a surveillance, trade surveillance, and market risk standpoint? And so I think as we've talked to our clients and prospects, is we talk about being proactive and not reactive. Is if you wait for those knocks on the door, it's probably not necessarily a good outcome. So take the steps now, make sure you're looking at your processes and your infrastructure today as compared to being defensive.
How does your recent alliance with VoxSmart make Aventis a better provider of surveillance technology?
We're very excited about the partnership with VoxSmart. And if you think about the surveillance space within the capital markets, there's really two aspects of it. There's a communication side and the trade side. And so there are some firms that try to do both, but they're really different problems. And they're really different problem sets. And we have found that you need to be really good at least right now, one of them, because again, they're really two different types of surveillance. And so we focus obviously on the trade side and not on the communication side. And that, in general, our clients keep those silos separate. And so the idea then is, how do you marry those data points? And really, that's the driver around working with a great technology firm like VoxSmart. Is you're working with a firm that has great penetration, similar client groups as we do, that we can share that information between our two firms, and you can inform the alerting between our two technologies. And so that provides a way to, you get the best of both worlds, as you can investigate these alerts using our respective technologies, but then you can inform how those alerts are generated, being able to leverage kind of the data in between the two systems. So we think this is really the model going forward, where we partner up with the best in the industry to help us solve these problems for our clients.
You or Aventis have often commented on the markets in op-eds. I think you even did one very recently. What questions are you looking to address in this way in the coming months?
Yeah, we love market structure type activities, right? For us, I've been in the business for 25 years, and I love participating in this conversation. And we feel we're key participants in market structure. And so, there's going to be, there's interesting things happening over the next whatever months or years, whether that's, you know, within the equity markets, you have some monstrous changes being proposed with the Reg NMS that are very interesting, that are going to have pretty far reaching consequences. So that's, you know, those are questions that we're going to want to kind of dig into. Obviously, this evolution of digital assets and the regulatory infrastructure and market structure around that, we'll want to inform and participate in however we can. You know, for us, we think there's kind of going to be a, you know, two-sided market where you'll have that the digital asset firms that want to attract institutional money, and they're going to adopt technologies. They're going to need to adopt technologies like ourselves, and the other side that doesn't want to attract digital institutional money, and they're going to, you know, not be interested in using technologies like ourselves. And so I think that that bifurcation is starting to happen fairly clearly right now. You know, kind of as I was talking about before, the FX market space, that that market structure again is going through, just starting in these conversations, is there enough transparency, regulation, protections in that marketplace today? And so we're gonna participate in that as well. And then at kind of throwing it back to the future space, we think there's really interesting cases starting to happen between with insider trading and market manipulation, right? Which really wasn't a thing, you know, until recently, where, you know, obviously that's been a big thing in the equity space for a long time, but to have insider trading in the futures market's pretty interesting and pretty new. So we think there's an opportunity there to at least participate and understand what's happening in that space. So lots of interesting, great market structure conversations going on that we'll take part of where it makes sense.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. This is Sarah Rudolph for John Lothian News.